Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Four people have been formally arraigned in relation to a Hanover Horton area armed robbery that took place in February. WKHM's Luke Moorhead has more.
The Jackson County Office of the Sheriff has announced that four arrests have been made in relation to an armed robbery that took place in the Hanover Horton area last month. Sheriff Gary Schutte says that following a coordinated effort by multiple law enforcement divisions, four of the six primary suspects are now in custody. On Tuesday, the sheriff's office executed a series of high-priority arrest warrants across the county. The suspects were formally arraigned on Wednesday. The apprehended suspects are Cameron Hudson, Caden Miguel Hudson, Xavier Andre Bacon, and a 16-year-old juvenile. They were all given a bond of $250,000. Each suspect is facing three felony counts, including armed robbery, larceny from a building, and larceny of firearms. The sheriff's office is actively seeking the public's assistance in locating the two remaining suspects, who they have identified as Richie Jimenez and James Goodall. Anyone with information regarding their whereabouts is urged to contact the sheriff's office or lead detective Kelly Ebersole at 517-768-7932 and are advised to not approach these individuals. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Luke Moorhead.
Major development for a Jackson-based food company, Dawn Foods, has announced it has entered into an agreement to be acquired by the international ingredients company Parados. The deal is subject to regulatory approvals and is expected to be completed by the end of this year. Dawn Foods, headquartered in Jackson, is a global supplier of bakery ingredients and products used in donuts, muffins, cookies, and other sweet baked goods. The company partners with more than 50,000 bakers and food manufacturers in over 100 countries. Belgium-based Parados specializes in bakery, pastry, and chocolate ingredients with operations in more than 80 countries. Company leaders say the combination would bring together Dawn's application-focused innovation and distribution network with Parados' research-driven ingredient technology. Until the deal is finalized, both companies say they will continue operating independently with no changes to day-to-day operations, customers, or employees. Longtime Jackson County Senior Living Community will soon become part of a larger nonprofit network. The board of directors at Vista Grand Villa has approved an affiliation agreement with Ohio-based Otterbein Senior Life. If finalized, the Jackson facility would become a wholly owned subsidiary of the nonprofit organization. Both boards have approved the deal, which now moves into a regulatory and procedural review process. Leaders say the partnership would provide Vista Grand Villa with additional operational resources and support while maintaining its current leadership, staff, and commitment to resident care. Vista Grand Villa Executive Director Chelsea Eisel says the affiliation is designed to strengthen the community's long-term stability while preserving the culture that residents and staff value. Once approvals are complete, the facility would be renamed the Otterbein Jackson Senior Life Community. Vista Grand Villa opened in 1971 on a 22-acre campus in Jackson. Otterbein Senior Life, based in Lebanon, Ohio, serves about 10,000 people each year through senior living, rehabilitation, home health, and hospice services. A health alert in Washtenaw County.
Health officials say an unvaccinated adult has contracted measles in the county. The person was recently in Florida, believed to be where they contracted measles. The department is warning people about possible exposure at several places in Ypsilanti on Thursday and Friday of last week, including Sidetrack Bar and Grill, T-Mobile, Cricket Wireless, and CVS Pharmacy. Anyone not fully vaccinated against measles is encouraged to do so as soon as possible. Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
Series of bills in the Michigan House will take on rising energy costs. Under the Republican-backed legislation, the Michigan Public Service Commission would be required to evaluate energy plans based on what they cost customers and whether the power will actually be there when you need it. House Speaker Matt Hall.
Since 2023, they've raised the rates by $1 billion. That's what they've done. largely because of the wind and solar mandates. They're trying to force all this wind and solar on us with the mandates, and all the construction is a big part. And so with our plan, we're forcing the utilities to lower their rates by $1 billion.
Hall says the proposal refocuses state regulators to keep the lights bill low while ending costly mandates. Consumers Energy has unveiled a new long-term plan for supplying electricity across Michigan. The Jackson-based utility says its upcoming integrated resource plan outlines an all-of-the-above strategy to keep power reliable while holding down costs over the next 20 years. The proposal calls for expanding renewable energy with more than 13 gigawatts of solar, wind, and battery storage, while also building two new natural gas power plants capable of generating about 1.5 gigawatts of electricity. Consumers Energy says the natural gas plants would provide on-demand power when renewable sources are limited, helping maintain reliability and affordable rates. The facilities are proposed for existing industrial sites in Bay and Genesee counties. Company officials say the plan would create thousands of construction jobs and hundreds of permanent positions while expanding Michigan's clean energy portfolio. The plan will be filed with the Michigan Public Service Commission in June for approval. Since Liberation Day, about a year ago, Michigan retailers are reporting a negative impact from tariffs.
Increases in inventory prices topping the list of tariff impacts for Michigan retailers. Vic Veda with the Michigan Retailers Association conducted the survey and asked about some of the biggest adjustments they've made over the past 11 months.
Item pricing adjustments are certainly top the list. About 62% of retailers reported needing to change item pricing. 29% or so reported finding new inventory and suppliers to try and keep costs manageable for their shoppers.
Veda said about 25% delayed or canceled projects around their business, and only about 17% of retailers surveyed reported no changes to their current strategies to combat the impact of tariffs. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
High gas prices have started to get some people looking at electric vehicles again.
It's very early, says Edmunds.com analyst Jessica Caldwell, but she has noticed a spike in people researching electric vehicle on their website. Now, this has happened with previous gas price increases.
It really comes down to how sharp is the spike in gas prices, and then how long people believe it will last. If people think this is sort of a short-term blip, then the shopping becomes less urgent. However, if they think it's going to last a long time and they're already in the market or their lease is expiring, then it becomes sort of a different exercise that's more serious.
EV sales have been depressed since September when federal incentives expired. Jeff Gilbert for the Michigan News Network.
Jackson native from Spring Arbor received a golden ticket advancing past the audition round. An American Idol, Kendra Struck, a country pop singer and songwriter, described what her experience was like once she got the ticket in her hand to make it to Hollywood Week.
They handed me the ticket. I walked out and they started doing like media stuff already off the bat. My whole family came, which was incredible. So we did a lot of stuff with them and they were like, all right, get a good night's rest because tomorrow we start rehearsals for Hollywood Week. Some of the people, there was actually like 12 days total of auditions. Mm-hmm. I was on day 10. So some of the people who were on day one, like they got to go back home and then come back down to Nashville for Hollywood Week. But since I was on the end, I just stayed and started going, so it happened really fast.
Yeah, this year's Hollywood Week, not actually in Hollywood. It was in Nashville.
Usually Hollywood Week is actually filmed in Hollywood. This year they filmed it in Nashville. They were calling it Nashwood and Hollyville. Yeah, but they still, like, on the show, they still just refer to it as Hollywood Week. Okay. That's the iconic thing that everyone knows, you know, you're going to Hollywood Week. So, yeah, but it happened for me, like, the next day. But for some people, it was like a week later, but definitely not months in between.
She's still in the early stages of her music career. Kendra discussed what she has learned along the way so far.
For me personally, it's been more of a thing of like learning to trust myself and trust my gut over even other people's opinions or instincts about things. And that's something that I think, like, even as a kid growing up, you're like, oh yeah, like everyone else, I'm just going to like take their input and trust it and use it. And I think just as I've gone on, you really need to just know as an artist, this is the sound I want. This is the direction I want to go. This is how I want to be viewed, and like really just stick with that. And that's something that I definitely had to learn.
You can find our full conversation with American Idol Golden Ticket winner and Jackson native Kendra Struck. You can find it on the March 11th episode of the AM Jackson podcast. We have a link at WKHM.com. You can also find it wherever you get your podcasts. The Consumer Price Index rose in February. Economist Dr. Tim Nash, director of the Northwood University Center for the Advancement of Free Enterprise and Entrepreneurship, said Michigan is not immune to the national trends.
But I do think, you know, the Michigan economy has been slowing. When Michigan GDP figures come out for the first quarter, you know, the Michigan economy is not at the growth pace.
When asked about the upcoming decision on interest rates, Nash believes the Fed will likely need to lower rates as the economy is not as strong as they would like. Cyber attack hit a West Michigan-based company. Officials believe it could be related to the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran. The medical technology firm Stryker has been hacked, crippling its networks and software worldwide and forcing the company to send employees home so they don't infect more devices at work. A pro-Iranian digital activist group called Handala has claimed responsibility. It's likely the first known attack on a U.S. company since the U.S.-Israeli war against Iran began. Grand Rapids man has been charged with murder and accused of beating his landlord to death. Najee Franklin appeared in court on Wednesday on charges of open murder. Kent County prosecutor accused him of using a baseball bat to beat his landlord, who died Monday morning. Court documents show Franklin was facing eviction since December. The landlord was trying to get him out of the property at that time. Bond was denied. Federal prosecutors are asking a judge to keep a man behind bars after a struggle with Homeland Security agents. 33-year-old Amaldo Jose Marquez Pulido is facing federal charges for assaulting an officer and grabbing his gun. Investigators say the violent arrest happened outside a business in Utica. After a brief chase, prosecutors say he actively fought the agents, injuring two of them, and briefly gained control of an agent's pistol before being restrained. The U.S. attorney says Marquez Pulido is an undocumented immigrant from Venezuela, and the government is seeking to hold him without bond. Detroit's top Catholic leader is stepping forward with an apology for the victims of clergy sexual abuse. Archbishop Edward Weisenberg issued a 5-page pastoral message addressing the church's past failures and outlining a series of new safeguards. Those measures include the mandatory fingerprinting of all clergy and volunteers, along with enhanced victim assistance and strict monitoring of anyone removed from ministry. Calling the abuse an attack on Christ himself, Weisenberger says he knows words alone cannot undo the damage, but he hopes these new reforms will help rebuild trust. 4 visitors to Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore have been fined for vandalism. In July of last year, park rangers in the UP were notified of people carving large letters into the cliff face and carrying over 100 pounds of rocks. The Illinois visitors were cited for defacing park resources. Each of the 4 were ordered to pay $500 and receive a 1-year ban, avoiding jail time. Proposed legislation could relieve anxiety for Michigan residents with medical debt. The Michigan Senate voted in favor of a package of bills that would standardize financial assistance programs that nonprofit hospitals are required to provide. Interest and late fees on medical debt would also be capped, and harmful debt collection practices such as liens and wage garnishment would be prohibited. An estimated 700,000 Michiganders have medical debt. If you're tempted to go look at the tornado damage in southwest Michigan, officials there say stay away. Branch County Emergency Management Coordinator Tim Miner says parts of southwest Michigan devastated by last week's deadly tornadoes are seeing an influx of unwelcome visitors trying to get a look at the damage. His message is simple: please stay away so the victims of the tornadoes can properly recover and officials can survey the full extent of the damage.
We have to give these people space, you know. We have to keep the traumatic tourists that want to come around and look at all this tragedy and want to just come have their own eyes on it. We got to give these people some space, you know. They're going through their belongings that have been through a tornado, you know, picked up, dumped on the ground, rained on.
Now, when it comes to ways people can help from afar, Miner says don't donate items because they have enough stuff already.
We don't need anything that is physical in nature that you can provide us. I don't need a wheelbarrow. I don't need this. I don't need that. We have all that. We have a school that is completely full of everything. We don't need any more.
Miner instead encourages people to make monetary donations to the United Way of Branch County. It's Thursday, and it's the 12th day of March. Today we celebrate Girl Scout Day. It's National Plant a Flower Day, National Alfred Hitchcock Day.
If you will just lean back and relax, I'll tell you a little ghost story. Please don't hesitate to turn out your lights.
It's also World Day Against Cyber Censorship, and it's National Baked Scallops Day. I kind of like mine seared. Bunch of butter. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, seared. That's the way. It was on this date in 1664. New Jersey became a British colony as King Charles II granted land in the New World to his brother James, the Duke of York. On this date in 1933, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt delivered the first of his radio fireside chats, telling Americans what was being done to deal with the nation's economic crisis. On this date in 2000, Pope John Paul II asked God for forgiveness for the sins of Roman Catholics through the ages, including wrongs inflicted on Jews, women, and minorities. It was on this date in 2001. Morton Downey Jr. died at the age of 68.
That's what you guys have been doing. For 40 years, you guys have been doing that. For 40 years, you've loaded us with all your liberal crap. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked, pal.
Oh, yeah. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, that was entertaining TV. Put it that. Elizabeth Smart was reunited with her family 9 months after she was abducted from her home. That happened on this date in 2003. In 2012, The Hunger Games, starring Jennifer Lawrence, premiered in L.A. Wow, that was 2012? 2014, 8 people were killed and 70 were injured after 2 buildings were leveled by a gas explosion in East Harlem, New York. On this date in 2014, the 2020 NCAA men's basketball tournament was canceled over concerns of the spread of COVID-19, becoming the first time March Madness was not held since it began in 1939. Also on this date in 2020, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the country was facing the worst public health crisis for a generation and that up to 10,000 people may already be infected with COVID-19. It was on this date in 2022, Saudi Arabia executed 81 convicted criminals, the largest known mass execution in that country in modern times. Birthdays today include Kendall Applegate, 27, actress from Desperate Housewives. Jamie Alexander from Thor and Blindspot is 42 today. Jake Tapper, broadcast journalist, 57 today. Aaron Eckhart is 58, actor from Aaron Brockovich, The Dark Knight, Thank You for Smoking. Courtney B. Vance, 66, actor from L.A. Law. Jerry Levine, 69, actor from Born on the 4th of July, also in Teen Wolf. John Provost from Lassie, 76 today. Mitt Romney, former Massachusetts governor, former senator, and a failed run at president. He was too afraid to fight back in those debates. He's 79 today. Frank Welker is 80, voiceover artist, Transformers, Scooby-Doo. Liza Minnelli is 80 today, actress and singer, daughter of Judy Garland. Barbara Feldon from Get Smart is 93 today. Other birthdays today include Marlon Jackson, 69 today from the Jackson 5. Steve Harris, 70, bassist from Iron Maiden. Bill Payne is 77, did the keyboards and vocals for Little Feat. And James Taylor has a birthday today. He's known for Carolina on My Mind, Byron Rain. James Taylor is 78. But what about Al Jarreau? He passed away in 2017. Al Jarreau would have had a birthday today. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. It's like a rainy night and candlelight.
And ooh, it's so romantic. I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
All right, let's take a quick look at your sports on AM Jackson. Division 2 girls basketball from last night saw Western falling to Tecumseh 58-39 for that final. So Tecumseh advances, and Western's fabulous season, 18-8, it comes to an end. Last night, game you heard right here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. That's Division 2. Division 3 girls basketball. Lumen Christi Basketball Titans, they win. They advance after they defeated Monroe St. Mary Catholic Central 60-39 last night. That was on our sister station, 95.9, the Power Cow. We've got highlights for you, and we start off first. In the first quarter, Kenna Hunt gets a steal and a score. Titans up 6-4.
A trap in the full court press. It's thrown away by Hunt. Goes right to the rim. Lays it up and in. Such a threat in the full court press. And she always loves to get those steals and get those easy scores, as women getting a lot more aggressive here with their full court press.
Ruby Boyce gets a board and a bucket. And Titans up 16 in the second.
Shuffles it back out for Boyce. And then for Johnson, gets into the corner, fires a three, too strong. Offensive rebound, O'Dowd, put back, no. Another offensive rebound, this time put up and in for Ruby Boyce. Persistence pays. Leading by 16 again.
Paige LaFear gets a basket in the third, makes it 36-19.
34-19, Lumen in front. Kenna Hunt off the screen to the baseline. Bounce pass down low for LaFear, who's left wide open beneath the basket. She's not going to get a much easier look in this one, as Lumen's back up by 17.
Titans are up 24 here in the fourth after Aaron O'Dowd gets a steal and one.
Into the near side corner, intercepted by O'Dowd. 3-on-2, O'Dowd right to the rim, layup up, in, counted in a foul. Another trip to the line for Lumen. More fast break points.
So that again, 60-39 final from Lumen Christi. So the Titans advance to the state quarterfinal. That's going to be on St. Patrick's Day, 7 o'clock at Northville High School, where they'll play Plymouth Christian Academy. Concord also advancing as the Yellow Jackets. They got a win yesterday over Hillsdale Academy, 53-37. They'll be facing Portland St. Patrick on St. Patrick's Day, 7 o'clock, at Mercy D. Munn Gymnasium in Vicksburg. Boys basketball. Division 4. Boys basketball semifinal action tonight. Concord takes on Wyoming Triunity Christian at the Brez. 7:30 for the tip time there, 7:15 for our broadcast here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Concord 23-4 on the season. Wyoming Triunity Christian, they are 25-1 on the season. Big Ten basketball from yesterday saw Maryland falling to Iowa. Iowa getting the win over Maryland 75-64. Took overtime for Washington to take down USC 83-79. Northwestern beat Indiana 74-61. And it was Rutgers on top of Minnesota 72-67. So today, that sets up Iowa versus Ohio State. Winner from that one will face Michigan tomorrow. Washington faces Wisconsin. Northwestern will face Purdue. And Rutgers will take on UCLA. Winner of that one will face MSU tomorrow. All right, and that's a quick look at your sports on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
All right, 7:33 and a half, and it's a pleasure to have back in the studio with us this morning. We welcome back Randy Treacher from ABC Bakery. Randy, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
How you doing?
See you again. Oh, good, thanks.
I know, it's been such a long time since we bumped into each other at the Soup Sign for Seniors event on Tuesday. That was fun.
It was fun. It always is fun.
Yeah. You've been a part of that for a few years now, haven't
you? Yes, I have. Yeah. I think this is my fifth year, I think.
Yeah. Now, you don't supply a soup.
Nope. I don't do soup.
That's not your thing.
No, I do make soup. But anyway, they wanted something different, so I do desserts and sometimes little breads and very popular cornbread this year.
Oh, yeah, was it? Okay. See, I don't eat. I don't. Whenever I MC an event, I've made it a rule. I don't eat. Because people look at the MC, right? And I know if I eat before I MC, there's going to be a spot somewhere on the chest or upper belly or something. So I just don't eat. I'm there. So I didn't see what you had. What you had cornbread then?
I had cornbread.
Okay. It
goes well with soup.
For sure.
Then
for
dessert, sugar cookies and gluten-free cupcakes.
Oh, man. Okay.
It all went, every last drop of it.
I was going to ask, because I know you've done this before, and we talked about you bringing back some stuff afterwards, but it was all gone this time.
People were asking, either they had a bigger crowd or they were hungrier this year, I'm not sure which.
Or they knew that ABC Bakery had that high-quality product.
I did hear that a lot. Cornbread, as I said, goes well with soup. But
so are you sitting there with a ruler saying, only one? Snapping on the knuckles?
No? I stopped doing that. They get really upset. First come, first serve.
Yeah.
If you're in the end of the line, you know, too bad, I guess.
You know, that's the thing, because a lot of people, they sit there and they say, all right, I'm just going to wait for the line to get shorter before I get in. No, you do that, you're not going to get the cornbread.
We were at the beginning of the line.
Yeah.
So everybody went by us first.
Right. Yeah. That's weird. They got the dessert first.
Well, it was technically cornbread. Mostly,
cornbread and dessert, too.
Exactly.
So, all right. But a lot of soups there. So it was fun. It's always a fun event.
It was good
seeing you there.
It's certainly a great cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. To support Meals on Wheels.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So ABC Bakery, you've been in business now for how long?
3.5 years.
Okay.
At South Point.
Okay. And things have been going well.
Yeah, I've been going okay.
Yeah.
Like most businesses, you could always use a little more, I suppose.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Right.
But
we keep busy.
All right. So you came off the Fat Tuesday rush. How was the Punchkies this year?
The Punchkie business. About Punchkies, son. You said it right. Mm-hmm. It was a record year. We sold more than ever.
Okay. So my favorite, and I know it's not traditional, my favorite's the blueberry filling.
Well, we sell a lot of them.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what were the biggies this year? What's the more traditional Punchki flavor?
Well, the most traditional, and we actually do sell quite a few of them, are plain, no filling.
Okay.
The real traditionalists will tell you there's not supposed to be anything in them.
This is the first I've heard that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The big conversation is always about what's inside.
Yes. But we have a lot of still really traditional Polish people here in Jackson, and they are pretty clear that it's nothing inside.
Nothing, okay.
And then if you want to stick with tradition, it's prune.
Okay.
Which we don't do.
No.
There's a limit. We do 11 flavors. There's a limit.
Okay, so traditional prune, not on the menu.
The biggest seller is Bavarian cream.
Okay,
far.
That makes sense. Yeah. All right.
So, plain.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, if you like plain.
I guess Punchkis are kind of like pizza. Even if they're bad, they're still kind of good. So if you don't have that favorite filling, it's still going to be good.
Okay. True.
Right.
I guess. I mean, not for me. I don't like Bavarian cream. But then I I have to be careful. I don't eat that many of them anyway. Mm-hmm. However, I have the most unusual use of punchkis.
Uh-huh.
You will never guess.
What's that?
I sold a whole bunch of them, uh-huh, plain, no filling, no coating, to Kibbe Cob Market, who made breakfast sandwiches out of them on Fat Tuesday.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Dozens and dozens of them.
Well, that actually sounds really good. That sounds really good. Yeah. Now, were your punchkis, were they powdered? Were they glazed? What's...
No, I only do the powdered sugar.
Okay, gotcha.
50 right. pounds of powdered sugar.
All right.
Roughly.
Well, that's
a year.
That's a lot of sugar. Okay. Let's pivot over, because we're going to be talking Easter here in a second. Yeah. But you do breakfast items also.
Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, beyond donuts, you do like breakfast...
Pasties.
Yeah. Thank you. You bailed me out.
Yes, I know.
Always
that's why
say
I
that wrong.
I know you do. That's why I said it. Yes, we do ham or bacon breakfast pasties, and they're very popular.
Are those already pre-made? Do they need to pre-order those? How does that work?
Yes.
Okay.
It just depends on how busy we are. I was going to mention today is pasty day. We're out of pasties, so I'll be... I have breakfast ones, but the regular beef I'm out of.
Okay.
We're working on it today. They'll be ready tomorrow afternoon.
Nice. Okay. People pre-order those, too?
They do, because... oftentimes I don't have them. I just have a hard time keeping them in stock and making donuts and cookies and pies and cakes. Oh, my. And stuff.
Yeah, you're a busy guy.
I am, yes.
You're a busy guy. Good retirement plan for you, right?
Somebody wasn't thinking.
So let's talk Easter, because that's just around the corner.
Yes.
And really, we need to let our listeners know now that if they want to order something from you for Easter, now's the time to get that order in, right?
Right. Okay. I already have dozens and dozens, and I'm not kidding, dozens of Easter cookies. We do a lot of decorated Easter cookies.
Okay.
And for some reason or another, I guess carrot cake is traditional at Easter, because we sell tons of carrot cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we also sell, I want everybody to know, I bought the only place in town that I know of that makes homemade hot cross buns, and I do those.
All right. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't. Have we talked about your hot cross buns before?
Nope.
I'm familiar with the song, but I'm not. I guess. I'm trying to think. I'm sure I have, but I guess I can't picture in my mind what a hot cross bun is.
Well, it's not like a roll. It's different. The ones that I make have cardamom in, which I think is traditional.
Okay.
So it's a little different taste. They're not great. They're not huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a cross of white frosting on them, and churches buy them. I do sell them to a few churches that use them on Easter, usually before service for Easter.
Is that traditionally an Easter type of...
Oh, it is very much Easter. I've had a number of calls looking for them. Apparently in Detroit, they sell them on Wednesday and Friday during Lent.
Huh.
Don't ask me. I have no idea, but
I don't know.
Do that.
Okay. All right. Now, the carrot cake for Easter, is that a relatively new thing, think? Or has it always been kind of...
I don't know. I get lots and lots. I shred a lot of carrots at Easter time. I don't mind telling you.
Okay. So you use real carrots.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What else would you put in carrot cake?
I don't know. I would, if it were to be made at the Daily household, it would come from a box.
From a box. I knew.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. We shred carrots and put them in there.
So you're just sitting there with the shredder.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a machine that does it. It's all by hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How many carrots do you go through in a
season? I don't know. I didn't keep track of the carrots.
You buy them by the pound, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So. Pounds and pounds of them, but I don't know.
What's that? So real carrots, what sets your carrot cake apart from everybody else?
Real carrots.
That's
most of them get it out of a box.
Right.
It's moist. I think it's moister.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get moist carrots out of a box.
No, you don't. You get a powder.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
All right.
So, anyway, I guess that's one thing.
But
we do lots of cookies. We do some carrot cakes.
Mm-hmm.
We do cupcakes as well. Those are popular. Okay. We also make a limited amount of candy. I'm a chocolatier. I like to make candy, so I do Easter candy. And a few other things for Easter. So, but getting your order in is always a good thing to make sure we have it.
All right. What do you do, like the made-to-order type cookies for Easter, or do you have options for people to choose from? How's that work?
Yep.
Yes. Yes, you do. I love it.
Check the website, theabcbakery.com.
Okay.
The Easter website is up.
Okay, it is up. And, of course, you've got the Facebook page, too.
Facebook page. Yep.
A good avenue to the website. A lot of people have you on Facebook and are following.
Lots of people. Facebook is an unbelievable thing.
Sure. Okay. So when did you start doing chocolates?
About when I was 10.
Oh, okay.
Seriously. But it's not a main thing. It's just kind of a thing that I like to do.
So. It's your hobby and a hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I have a couple, have some Easter rabbits out already, and we'll be making more stuff. I make little Easter baskets full of candy and suckers and that kind of thing, just because I like to do that.
Okay. Now, next week is St. Patrick's Day. I'm pivoting on you a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Are you just like all in on Easter, or do you focus a little bit on St. Patrick's Day?
Right now, at this very minute, there are shamrock sugar cookies in my case.
Okay. So that they're there right now. So first come, first serve, right?
First come, first serve.
Okay.
That's right.
Are you taking any orders or anything for St. Patrick's Day? Or
sure.
Why not?
We always take orders. I mean, we get orders all the time. But, you know, you come in, you take your chance because I don't know who's coming in. Somebody may come in. They may buy them all. I don't know.
All right. Do you make St. Patrick-themed pasties?
No.
Okay.
Thought about it. Yes. That is one of the things we thought about.
A little corned beef in there?
And yes, seriously. It's on our St. Patrick's and Mexican pasties.
Oh, that does sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're thinking about those.
But you've got right now the traditional ones you'll have available tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow afternoon.
All right. So we've talked about Easter. We kind of touched on St. Patrick's Day a little bit. Is it too early to think about graduations?
Graduation page is up as well.
It is. Okay. So it's not too early is what you're saying.
No. Oh, Irish soda bread at this time of the year. Oh. And we'll have Irish soda bread tomorrow.
Irish soda bread?
Mm-hmm. It's very popular. You don't know about it.
And with last name like Daly, you'd think I would. Trust me, I'm pretty well versed in some other Irish traditions, but I'm not Irish soda bread. What is that?
It's a bread and it's leavened with soda and it's a little coarser and it's made in a kind of an artisanal round loaf. Uh-huh. It's not made in a sandwich loaf.
Huh. Interesting.
And it's got a rough crust on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of, if you think of Irish. Kind of Irish bread.
Okay.
You think about that because it's kind of rough.
Yeah,
but it has a different taste.
Do you use it to go along with soup? Do you use it just to kind
absolutely.
Of garnish
that,
your meal, or
that
what
would
is it?
It would be great with soup and that kind of thing.
Okay, huh?
Maybe you should do that next year. Pieces of Irish soda bread with the soups on for seniors.
See, that we got to just talk it out. That's how great ideas happen. Just fun, friendly conversation, right?
But we do make Irish soda bread, yes.
Okay. All right. So your Irish cookies, your Irish soda bread, and maybe next year Irish pasties.
It could be.
Pasties. Okay.
Could be.
I almost said it wrong again. All right. Website again, if people want to put their orders in or just walk in, right?
We get a lot of walk-ins. We always like people to walk in because hopefully they'll buy something.
Yeah, and you're just around the corner here at the South Point Plaza.
Yep.
If you can find the mailboxes, you can find ABC Bakery.
That's what I always tell people.
Yeah.
Because more people know where the mailboxes are than they do anything else.
Which they do. Well, it seems like there's more and more businesses going in over there.
It's
so
full.
So there's people who kind of like drive around to find their business
over
there.
It's full.
It is full now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hopping.
That's awesome. That's great.
The ABCBakery.com, 517-262-6995.
Get your orders in for Easter. Get them in for St. Patrick's Day.
Get them in for graduation.
Graduations,
too. And don't forget, most important, Mother's Day.
Yeah, that's right. May will be here before you know it.
That's right.
So orders are coming in. What is it for cakes, or what are the big orders usually for Mother's Day?
Actually, cookies.
Okay.
Not so much cookies and cupcakes, more than cakes for moms.
Gotcha. Okay. Cookies and cupcakes. Randy Treacher from ABC Bakery. As always, so much fun. I love having you in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
And it's a pleasure to have joining us this morning on our Newsmaker line. We welcome to the program Stacy Harris. Stacy, good morning.
Hey, Mark. Hey. Thanks for having me here today.
Now, you are involved with the Menopause the Musical 2 coming up. That's weekend at the Potter Center, right?
That's right. We're doing one show there tomorrow night, March 13th at 7 p.m. And we hope all your listeners will come out and have a fabulous time with us. It really is a super fun show filled with songs that people know and love. They are parodied hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So okay. It might be songs that as soon as it starts, people think, I know this song. But then they will laugh along with us because the words have been changed to reflect some of the things that people are going through as they get to their older years, whether it's women or men, because the men experience it too, since they're going through menopause along with their wives or their sisters or their mothers or their friends, and they get to learn a little bit more about what their ladies are going through. So it's a super fun show. It is four characters. Some of our audiences have seen the first one, so this is the sequel. This is Menopause the Musical 2, Cruising Through the Change. So if you've seen the first one, you don't have to have seen the first one to enjoy the second one. You learn everything you need to know right at the top of the show. But if you have seen the first one, you will enjoy seeing these characters that you've gotten to know in the first one. This is 5 years later, and it is the same four characters. The characters are Soap Star. That's me. I play the Soap Star. There's Iowa Housewife, Earth Mother, Professional Woman. So it's sort of archetypes so that our audiences can relate to these characters. They might see themselves a little bit more in one or in the other, or maybe a sprinkle of each of the characters in themselves, in their friends, in their moms, their sisters, and their wives. And it really is a great time. By the end, people are up on their feet, singing and dancing along with us. So you'll laugh. You might shed a few tears because there are some tender moments too, but the most important thing is that you'll celebrate the power of sisterhood and the power of friendship and how your friends will get you through anything.
Right. Well, I'm so glad you brought up the men aspect of this, because when you hear Menopause the Musical 2, instantly you're thinking, hey, this is going to be something that's going to really cater toward women, and it does. But like you said, you kind of go out of your way a little bit to make sure that men are included.
That is true. We do have some men in our audiences. And even though it is a super fun girls' night out, we also see a lot of husbands and wives. We see guys, and they get it too.
Right.
By the end, they're cheering along too. And sometimes if we happen to see some of the men afterwards, they go, I get it now. You know, they really get what their ladies are going through and have a great time because they know these songs too. Most people do when you hear these songs from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. That you grew up loving, and to see them in a new way, it really is a lot of fun for everyone.
Okay, so tickets are available through the Jackson College, through the Potter Center website at Jackson College. You can get all the information that that you need right there to pick up your tickets for the show coming up tomorrow. Now, is this a continuation for you as well? Were you involved in the original Menopause production?
I was not. The other three ladies that I'll be performing with, they have been with the first one.
Okay.
I will be with the first one coming up because next season is going to be the 25th anniversary. That's how long Menopause the Musical has been in existence. We're coming up on the 25th anniversary. So next season we will be touring with the original Menopause Musical. So I will be a part of it then, playing Soap Star in that. But so far I've only been involved in the sequel, since the U.S. premiere, which was about 2.5 years ago. So I get to perform with some incredibly talented women, and we have an amazing crew, and I'm just so grateful to be able to spread the message of sisterhood all around the U.S. and Canada. Yes, you're right. You can get the tickets on the Potter Center. You could also just learn more about the show and get tickets at menopausethemusical.com. And tickets start at $25. So come out and join us.
Stacey Harris joining us here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM. So is this your gig? This is what you do. You are an actress, and this is you're currently touring with this production, right?
That's right. I've been a professional actress for pretty much my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I went to school for theater. I went to Northwestern outside of Chicago, and now I live in New York City, but I am on the road quite a bit. But I am based in New York City, and I've been doing shows either in New York or all over the country or on tour for a long, long time. So this is a really fun one to do, and I love the longevity of it as well. I mean, people keep coming out. Yeah. It keeps selling, so it's such a gift to have a show like this that just keeps on running and keeps having enthusiastic audiences.
Well, what was it about? Because this is a hard field to get into, and it's exceptionally hard to be able to sustain a career in it. So what was it, you know, what was that first big break for you like, and when was that point you realized, hey, I'm going to be able to do this. I'm going to be able to do this as a job. What was that like for
you? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't grow up with any showbiz people in my family. I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, so it wasn't like I was surrounded by Broadway people or Hollywood or anything like that, but I just always loved singing and dancing. At a young age, I was always in dance class or wanting to go to theater camps or in the musicals at school or the community theater in Raleigh. And I started going to French Woods, which is a theater camp in New York. And then when I started doing it more and more and I realized this is what I wanted to study in college, during the summer in college, I started auditioning for theater companies, and I booked a summer stock gig, and I realized, wow, I get to do this. I get to play all these roles, and I get paid for this. Yeah. How amazing is that? So I think it was around there when I realized, oh, people do this for a living. Even when I was in high school, actually, there was a dinner theater in Raleigh that I auditioned for and got in, and I was working with people that had been on national tours and people who lived in New York, and they had come to Raleigh to do a show here. And I thought, wow, these people are getting paid to do this. And so was I. It wasn't much. I can't remember what it was, maybe $25 a show. But to me, that was incredible. Wow, I get to do this. So it was around then that I realized people do this. They get paid. I could do this. Look at me. I'm getting chosen for these shows. Didn't mean I got chosen for everything. You know, once I moved to New York and started auditioning in earnest, nonstop, you know, you don't get everything you want. Right. There's a lot of people out there, like you said, a lot of competition, but I'm just very persistent. I go after what I want, and I feel really lucky and grateful to have been able to make this my career for 30 years.
When you audition for Menopause the Musical 2, because as you mentioned earlier, you have the original cast and you you kind of came in to join the original cast. Were you going for that role? Were you going for another role? Yes. What was the process like getting to where you are with this production right now?
Yeah, so ever since COVID, the audition process has kind of changed. It used to be the first audition was always live in the room. Now, a lot of times that first audition is often on tape, meaning, you know, you're filming yourself in your apartment with your phone, doing a song that they asked for, or doing a monologue that they asked for. Not always, but I would say quite often. And so that's what I did. I had submitted for this show, and I have heard of this show for years, of course. It had been in New York, off Broadway. When I first moved to New York, at that time, I was too young for the show, never even considered the show. But at this point, I thought, you know what, let me give this a try. So I had submitted for it. They requested a tape. I made an audition tape. And then they called me in for callbacks. So then that has been your more typical audition experience, where they send you material from the show. They send you sides, which is like a portion of the script. At that point, the sequel script was still kind of in development.
Yeah.
So some of the script has now changed to what it is now. But the basic premise and the basic concept was pretty much the same. So I was actually doing another show upstate, and it just happened that the callback date was on my day off. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to make it. And a callback is not like they'll just arrange it around you. No, no, this is the day that they're seeing everyone.
Yeah.
So luckily I was able to catch a ride with a friend back to the city, go in for the callback and do the monologue and do a song, and they vocalize and they teach you a dance and you do the dance. And luckily they saw in me what I saw about how I could contribute to the show and how I could do my version of Soap Star, and luckily they were looking for a Soap Star, so voila, here I am 2.5 years later, and it's been so much fun, and to learn the show and to work with these wonderful people, meet all these, what we now refer to as our Menno sisters. That's all the ladies I get to perform with. And we've become wonderful friends. And it's just such a pleasure to share the stage with them and share life on the road with them, because that becomes your family. People that you're touring with, that's who you hang out with on your days off. That's who you travel with. That's who you perform with. So, you know, I'm so happy to have these new friends as my Menno sisters.
Stacey Harris joining us here today, who plays Soap Star in Menopause the Musical too. So let me ask you this. Was it the show or was it the character that attracted you most to this?
That is a good question. I would say a little of both. Soap Star, she is struggling with getting older, as they all are, but Soap Star in particular has spent a lot of her life and her career being cast and being loved for her looks, her cuteness, her flirtatiousness, and just like anyone who is on TV, you recognize as you get older, you're going to have different kinds of struggles getting cast. And she shares some about her personal life as well, her experience with men, and how she's struggling with her body changing. And each of the women share what they're going through. And they might, just like people in our audiences, they might have different struggles. Some of them are struggling with dating. Some of them are struggling with accepting the changes in their body or hot flashes or their struggles with their partner or their, some of them have grandchildren. They're all in a little bit different struggles, but Soap Star in particular, I could relate to that as a woman in show business getting older. You know, the roles change and your thoughts about relationships might change, but also how you value your friendships really comes to the forefront, and you to recognize that your friends are really who you can rely on as you get older in this business or really any part of life. So I would say a lot of those qualities about Soap Star I could relate to, and it felt to me like I was a good fit for that role in terms of the skills necessary and the qualities to play this role. And then the show itself, kind of similarly, you know, as a woman getting older, you realize, oh, these things are real. These things that happen are real, and I think it's an important message to share with the world that it's okay to talk about. And luckily, I feel like in even mainstream, you know, a lot of celebrities are coming forward now talking about menopause. Halle Berry, Naomi Watts, a lot of people are talking about it. And it doesn't have to be so hush-hush. It's not some horrible disease that you can't talk about. If we're lucky enough to get to this age, every woman is going to experience menopause, and they might experience it in their own way, but it's not something that you need to feel like you should feel like you have to hide, right? And so this is a way to talk about it and celebrate it, but also in a fun way where we can laugh about it, we can share the struggles, and we can tell our audiences by sharing what all these women are going through, we're telling them, it's okay, this is normal. This is normal, you're normal. What you're going through is fine. And your friends will get you through it and they'll help you get through all different kinds of struggles in your life. So I would say it's a little of both what appealed to me about being a part of the show and auditioning and ultimately being a part of it.
Is there a scene or an interaction with other characters or a song or something that that you find with this production is your favorite part? I mean, you enjoy the whole process, but I know, because I've been in productions before too, and I was like, oh man, I can't wait to get to that song. I can't wait to do that. What for you is the part on Friday night that you're looking forward to the most?
Let's see. Well, I do really enjoy all the songs. I would say some of the highlights are the very end. There is an encore, and that really gets people up on their feet dancing and singing along with us. I don't want to give away what it is, but just make sure if you're coming, make sure to stay to the very end because you don't want to miss the party at the end. The end really feels like a party. And then I will say, towards the beginning of the show, I think it's actually the second song in the show, we do a parody of the old 80s hit, Holding Out for a Hero, which people might remember from the
Footloose
yeah. soundtrack, right? So in our version, it's I Need a Vino. And as soon as we sing that, the audience is just, you can really tell they're on board because they really recognize we can laugh and they have such a great time with that song. So that's a really fun one to share with the audience because it feels like they're ready to hop on board and enjoy this cruise with us because yeah. it's called Cruising Through the Change. Because we're actually on a cruise. It's the same four characters 5 years later, and now they're good friends, and they're taking a cruise together. So the mm-hmm. whole play takes place on a cruise ship. So the set is like a cruise ship, and as they are checking in, they are talking about what they're going through, and they realize, I need a vino, and they sing about it, and it really is a great time and a lot of laughs.
Menopause the Musical 2, Cruising Through the Change, Friday, 7 o'clock at the Potter Center, Jackson College Potter Center stage. You can get tickets through the Jackson College. That's jccmi.edu/Potter Center. But you said Menopause the Musical 2 has their own website where you can get tickets as well, correct?
Right. Yep. That's true. You could get tickets there. You can also find out more about it. More about us, the cast, and the whole production, menopausethemusical.com.
All right, very good. Anything left untouched here, Stacey Harris, from Menopause the Musical 2 that I didn't ask you or our listeners need to know about?
Yeah, I think you did a great job. Thank you for having me. And I think if there's anything else they need to know about the show, go to menopausethemusical.com, check it out. But I hope all your audiences will come out. Have a great time, laugh, sing and dance along with us, and enjoy the ride.
Well, I don't think the Potter Center curtain has any legs there, but if they do, I hope you guys break one, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. Great chatting with you. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Thank you for being here with us. This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Let's check.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 9:35 and a half, and it's a pleasure to have back in the studio with us today, Larry Falzon, Wygodden Falzon, time for Legal Bites on AM Jackson. Larry, hey, good morning.
Good morning, and you're happy to see me because of Bumstead, I'm sure.
Bumstead came running up to me like every dog should, so happy to see me, and just wanted his butt scratch this morning. That's all he wanted. I don't know if it was me or just the opportunity to get a butt scratch from somebody new. That's probably what it was,
yeah,
I'm thinking.
He's a little bit of a hog for attention.
He's a great dog. So, yeah. No, thank you for bringing him in.
Oh,
we
no.
appreciate that. All right. So Legal Bites today. Where are we starting off with today?
Well, I want to talk about, potholes.
Okay.
Because the weather's changing.
And, tis the season.
And it's the season for us to be, harassed by the roads. Potholes, as everybody knows, caused by water getting into crevices and cracks and then freezing. The concrete expands. Traffic hits that, heavy traffic. And next thing you know, the material is displaced and you got yourself a pothole. It causes a lot of damage to property, for sure. Tire blowouts, wheels are bent, suspensions, tie rods, steering problems. But it also causes chipped teeth and neck injuries, too, if you're not careful.
Really?
And really more than that if you're on a bicycle. Don't forget, people ride bikes and motorcycles, and it can be a really devastating thing. So who's responsible for all this? Well, as we all know from Big Gretch, fix the damn roads. It's the government's responsibility to fix a road. It depends on which road as to which governmental entity has to fix it. So
okay.
Highways is the state, county roads, county, regular city streets is usually the city municipality.
But sometimes, I don't want to say those lines are blurred, but sometimes people just don't know.
Yeah, they don't know.
They just don't know. I think most people can figure out what a state road is, but when it comes to like the city, county, township, whatever, they just don't know.
Yeah, you can always find out by calling the governmental entity. The County Road Commission is the best place. They'll tell you who's supposed to fix that particular road that you had a problem on.
Okay.
Okay, so you just call them up and ask them, hey, who's responsible for this road? They'll tell you. Okay, the government generally can't be sued because they have governmental immunity under 691-1407. That's the Michigan compiled law. However,
I was going to say there's got to be a but there.
There is a but because the government does allow themselves to be sued in certain circumstances, like if a government employee is driving a car and they crash you, you can sue them. There's a highway exception to governmental immunity, which says basically that it's the highway's responsibility to keep the roads reasonably safe for travel.
Okay.
So, yes, 691-1402 says we have to do this. There are limitations. They're really only talking about roadways and sidewalks that are parallel to roadways. So like if you have a road and a city sidewalk on, along the parallel, you can't do alleys, you can't do walks between parks, stuff like that.
Okay.
They're immune from that. Shoulders, mediums, stuff like that, you can't sue them for any defects.
Okay.
Just the roadway and parallel sidewalks.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And it's got to be the roadway. And I'll tell you a funny story in a second. What constitutes the roadway?
Okay, between the lines, I would assume.
No, I mean if there's something in the road that's not the roadway, they're not responsible. Like for instance, if you're driving under a bridge or and something falls from the underside of the bridge, the courts basically are saying that's not the roadway.
Okay.
Even though it's part of the upper road.
It's the okay.
Right. So.
Oh.
Anyway,
that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't, but that's government for you. So we used to be able to sue the government for poor design, but they took that away from us because it's not part of the highway exception, right?
Okay. Huh.
All right. So the big deal about suing the government for property damage to your car or personal injury is that they have to have notice of the defect. And that means that you have to prove somehow that they knew about this particular pothole, okay? So doing that yourself is really hard.
Yeah.
That's why you need to get a lawyer who knows what he's doing. A lawyer would canvass the neighborhood, get video from Ring doorbells, things like that, put a timetable onto that. They would check the city records, county records. People do complain and do give notice to the government, but then nothing happens for a while and the government doesn't fix it right away. If they've had notice and you can prove they had notice, they're going to be potentially responsible.
Okay.
The good thing is that there is another statute, 691.1403, Michigan compiled laws, that says if a defect is in existence for 30 days, the government is presumed to have known. That means if I have a neighbor, if I get hurt, my neighbor will testify that that thing's been there for 6 months, even though nobody told the government, that's notice.
Okay. Okay.
So that lets you in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. As far as, let's say, because we've had officials on here, both county and city, talking about if you know of a pothole, we've had this conversation recently.
Fix the damn roads.
Report it to JCDOT. Report it to the city department. So those emails come in. What if the calls come in? Are they required to log that call? Could that be, if you find that, could that be considered notice?
They're supposed to log the call.
Okay.
They're supposed to create a form that tells the and that they send to the County Road Commission or City Road Commission and saying, hey, we got a call about a pothole here. But if they don't and you can't prove it, that's the problem, right?
Right.
You got to be able to prove it. So that's why testimony of your neighbors is really important. When I have a highway case, you know, I go out and try to get video. there's plenty of places now I have video. We're pretty much on video all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So I try to do that. I try to get witnesses, even testimony from people. So my second trial that I ever had,
yeah,
many moons ago.
Just last week.
Even though I don't look like it yet. a girl on a bicycle in Detroit hits a pothole, goes down, ends up with a traumatic brain injury. That was we got $500,000 for her back many years ago. And the key to that case was neighbors. I got her neighbors, or that wasn't her neighborhood, but I got people in the neighborhood to testify at trial that that's been there. That thing's been there for a year. Okay. And that got me to the note through notice, and that got this young lady a substantial recovery. So I had another case where a guy's driving on a sidewalk on a motorized
scooter. Okay.
Right? So he's 35 years old, goofing around, bought this scooter, he's driving on, I won't say the city, but he was driving around and he hits a line that's coming across from a utility pole.
Okay.
That they built the sidewalk. The city built the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Underneath this line, this cable.
Like a guide kind
of? Yeah, guide cable.
Okay.
And it was embedded in the sidewalk. Okay.
Okay.
So
poor design.
Not only poor design, but, you know, knucklehead.
Yeah.
It was knuckleheadism. Why would you put the stake, the binder,
yeah,
in the sidewalk? Well, that's because that was there before.
Okay.
So the brainiacs at the city just said, well, just put the sidewalk over.
Okay.
And it came out of the sidewalk, right? So guy hits the guy wire, cuts his head off, dies.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, awful, isn't it?
Wow, yeah.
Right. And I had to go to the Court of Appeals on this one. I claimed that this was a defective sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
Because you're not supposed to have a guy wire coming out of the side of the sidewalk, impeding traffic on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
So we went to the Court of Appeals, and they agreed with me. Then the defense took it to the Supreme Court of Michigan, and they disagreed with me. And because they said, this is a bad court we had, but they said, look, the sidewalk exception, uh-huh, under highway exception, is for the sidewalk,
right,
not anything, okay, sticking out of the sidewalk. So if a construction guy is putting a sidewalk,
are those Engler-appointed judges?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The Gang of Four, yes. Anyway, they're long gone, thank God. So if you had a hammer, if they left a hammer sticking out of the sidewalk and you tripped on it, too bad for you.
Oh.
It's not a sidewalk defect. It's not mortar. It's not concrete.
Oh.
And so they threw the case out against the municipality,
mm-hmm,
but they allowed me to continue with the utility. So we were able to get the family, I think, $1.1 million on that one. So.
Wow.
So
horrible.
Yeah. Now, my clerk just got a bent rim from one.
Okay.
So we're making a claim for him through the city. We'll see what happens.
So if that happens here, is someone, because I mean, I know the potholes, I know the roads.
Right.
I almost feel like I could get a ticket with how I'm driving around the roads to avoid the potholes.
Right.
But that's my normal route. I know which. And somebody has conveniently spray painted them orange so you can see them.
Yep. Sure, but it's the city that's trying to.
Well, that's not a city road.
Oh, okay, well, somebody did it.
But
I'm guessing it was maybe not a governmental immunity, maybe a good Samaritan or something.
Don't know. Don't know. So let's say I hit that pothole, rim gets bent.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because it does get a little complicated. What you can do, and if people call me, I'll give them advice about how to do it. It's difficult to have a lawsuit against the city for a bent rim because of the damages. But in fact, you find out, the first thing you do is you call the county or city and find out if they're responsible for the road.
Yeah.
Then you have to give them notice. That means you have to, not just they have to have notice, but you have to give them notice by filling out their notification form. And most municipalities have a form that you fill it out and send it back to them, and that starts the process.
Okay.
To get your reimbursement, take photos, send them the receipt of the a copy of the receipt of the repair. But you're always going to have that problem of notice. And most people, only 6% get reimbursed because most people don't realize there's a notice provision and they fail to prove that the government entity had notice.
Okay.
So if you can go to a neighbor in that area and say, hey, would you sign an affidavit as to how long was this here? They say it's been there for 6 months. Will you do an affidavit for me? Quick little, I live here. I've watched this thing here for 6 months. Here's my name. I'll testify to that in trial. Attorney can help you with that. You know, the guidelines for an affidavit. You send that in, that's notice. And you'll be one of the 6% who collect.
All right. Now, what if, because you mentioned neck injuries, chipped teeth, that kind of stuff.
So you're driving along, and if you hit one of these babies, you know, and you're not aware of it and get hurt, same thing with my young gal on the bicycle, then you can file a claim for your personal injury. Same rules apply. You got to file the correct notice provisions that the government entity wants filled out. And they're very strict on it. And the courts have said if you don't do it exactly the way they want on their form, you don't have a case.
Okay.
And then you also have to prove notice. So you got to get out there, find a witness. The attorney will get video, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. Wow. It's crazy.
It is crazy. But people get hurt really bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the car. I mean, you can always replace a tire rim, but
there's a couple of those that I hit. I'm driving it, you know, when it's dark and I hit it, it just rattles the whole truck.
It's mostly neck injuries.
And then I like turn down everything and make sure, okay, does everything sound the way it usually does? Am I pulling to one way or the other now?
I just spinning out teeth.
Well, I haven't done that yet. I don't think I've ever hit one. I drive like an old man anyway, so I don't think I've ever hit one that hard. But
it's not just speeding or anything like that. It's the depth of the hole too.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if it's substantial and your tire hits it the wrong way, wow.
So you've got a long career of addressing these.
Yeah.
Is there an area in the state that's worse than another when it comes to potholes?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hate to pick on them, but, you know, the bigger cities, they got budget problems, and they got a lot of people moving out of there, and their tax base is down, so it's hard for them to keep up. But, you know, the Detroits, the Pontiacs, area, Highland Park,
wow, okay. Those are not on my normal commute. Right.
Jackson looks good. I haven't had a pothole hit yet in Jackson. So.
Oh yeah, you probably just hacked off a bunch of Jackson people. They're going to disagree with you.
Okay, then send in those pictures. Get your roads fixed. Fix the damn roads.
All right. If someone feels like they might have been injured or they've got some major property damage because of the potholes, give you a call.
Absolutely. 1-877 to get paid. Go on my website at either Why God in Falzon or falzonlaw.com. There's a 24/7 receptionist. They'll take your call and we'll fix you up.
I got a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And something we were talking about in the Vermeulen's green room.
Sure.
Just a couple minutes to hang out because we're revisiting something that we had talked about before.
Yeah.
But we will probably get an update from Representative Schmaltz tomorrow.
Okay.
And we talked about it with Representative Leitner earlier in the week. Open and obvious.
Yeah.
Legislation moving through the state. You're familiar with
Big
it?
Big problem. Big problem. The MAJ is all over. The Michigan Association for Justice is all over it. So what's going on is this. Years ago, the Supreme Court started us down this bad path of if you can see something, if the ordinary person could see it and it caused you to fall, you can't sue. It's gone through a lot of law. It was really bad. The new Supreme Court came up with saying it's too bad. There's too many victims. They wheeled it back and said it's a question for the jury whether it was open and obvious. Now the legislature wants to go back to the old vindictive, you know, vitriolic law that that says you can't sue it in a slip and fall if it's open and obvious. So my understanding is that it was up for a vote in the House.
Yeah, in the House this week.
This week.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened with that vote, if it even took place yet. But if you can call your rep and tell them this is not good for the people of Michigan, you should, because it's not. I mean, older people, you can't believe some of the cases. We had cases where older people who take the bus to go get their groceries and they fall on ice in a parking lot going to the door of the and you know what the courts were saying? Well, just find someplace else to shop for milk. And they don't realize that not everyone's driving around in your Bentley, you know, or your Mercedes, Judge. People have public transportation. They're stuck. And they're going to places that are dangerous.
Yeah.
Open and obvious is bad for Michigan.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll continue the conversation depending on what. I'm anticipating it passing the House. Yeah. And then it'll probably get hung up in the Senate. It's kind of what I'm anticipating.
Hope so.
All right.
Maybe Big Gretch will veto it.
We'll see.
She screwed us on the no fault. She owes us.
Okay. Always a pleasure, Larry. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Larry falls in from Why God and Falls in. It's Legal Bites on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM at 9.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.